supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Even before the first day of winter, we have our first indication that spring is just around the corner. Joining me in conversation is Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Astronomer or meteorologist? What's the forecast?
I'm going to go for a blend of the two because sometimes it requires a little bit of astronomy to help the meteorology along, if you will. In this case, it's our rapid run now, as I like to say, towards spring.
Yay.
We're slowly getting there, believe it or not, and it may seem unusual to talk about it this way, but we are approaching the winter solstice coming up in just a couple of weeks. But our first hint that we're really getting there is that we have our earliest sunset this week, which is very cool, at 4:35 p.m. tonight and then for the next couple of days. So while it may seem to be depressing that it's gotten so dark so early, the upside of this is that in another week or so, sunset is going to slip by a minute back to 4:36 in the afternoon. Well, not much. It's a hint of what's to come because sunsets will continue to come later and later as we make our trek toward winter solstice. Now, we get to winter solstice, which, of course, is identified as this particular day of the year in which we have the fewest number of hours and minutes of daylight for the course of the year. However, following closely on the heels of winter solstice in early January, we'll come to perihelion just in the first week of January, and then we'll really start to see gains on the day because shortly thereafter, we will have reached the latest sunrise of the year, early January, about 7:20 or so. And then we'll start to pile on the minutes both in the morning at sunrise and in the evening at sunset. And lo and behold, the next thing you know, we'll be in T-shirts and shorts again.
Can't wait.
I'm trying to make it as optimistic getting through winter as possible.
Well, one potential advantage of these dark skies, any chance of seeing a cigar-shaped interloper from outer space?
Freud famously said a cigar is just a smoke. And in this case, for us, it's actually an asteroid. And this is an unusual asteroid, not only because of its shape. It's 10 times longer than it is wide. But this object appears to be, based on its shape, its reflectivity, and its non-reaction to its close flyby of the sun, it's been ruled out as a comet. But the cool thing about it is that it seems to be from another solar system entirely. And this is a very new kind of thing for us. And it's not to say that objects from other solar systems could not possibly wander somehow over to our solar system. But this is the first time we've had an opportunity to examine such an object with the kind of astronomical research tools that we have.
Here's another oddity. It's the anniversary of an attack of a meteorite.
Yes, it is kind of this very, very unusual sort of anniversary. Just recently, we celebrated the 132nd anniversary of the first photo of a meteor shower that took place in 1885. In 1954, though, Elizabeth Hodges was struck by a ricocheting meteorite in her home in Alabama. Of course, we can go back in history thousands of years and find recordings in various ways that there have been meteor showers and things like that. But what happened to Elizabeth Hodges in 1954 is the first recorded instance of a human being harmed by a falling object from space. This object, about the size of your fist, came down through her roof, bounced around inside her living room, and struck her on the leg. A bad bruise, certainly, but nothing anywhere near considered life-threatening at all.
Has it been recorded to have happened before or since?
No. There has not been a recorded instance of a meteorite striking a person. However, there was an anecdotal story about a dog, unfortunately, that may have gone to doggy heaven as a result of being struck by a meteorite, but there are no real records of that instance. I think it's just one of those apocryphal stories that goes around the astronomy community. Having said that, we have no reason to be concerned that the cigar-shaped object from another solar system, even though it's traveling at 98,000 miles an hour, is a quarter mile long. We do not have to worry that it's coming anywhere near Earth. In fact, it is now heading out of our solar system with no intended path of damage anywhere else.
We have a moment left. Tell us the weekly story of what's available to be seen in the night sky this week.
Evening is going to be great for viewing the constellations of the late fall and early winter sky, but we're devoid of planets really in the evening right now. All the action is still happening around in the pre-dawn sky. It means you don't have to get up very early in order to observe those bright objects, Jupiter being the main one, Mars being the secondary one that you'll see. Jupiter will be the brightest, Mars will be above it. And really low on the eastern horizon is the brilliant planet Venus, but that's going to be very challenging to see because it is so low. If you're out near the Jersey Shore and you have a clear view of the horizon on one of these mornings this next week, you might give it a shot and see what you can come up with.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.